that maskilu David, another maskilu David. The bo doi gadomi. This is when doi gadomi came by Yaakov to Shlomo. Yomer lo bad David al Beis Achimelech. When David Melech, that David Melech came to Beis Achimelech, that doi gadomi, so to speak, told on him and said something bad. Now, Nun Aleph talked about Bathsheba. What happened when David Melech went to Bathsheba? And the whole conversation that went on and how he complained, etc. This is all after the Mizmor La'asafs and the Manateach with Nekorach, etc. Now Doi Gadomi comes, he tells him over. So number one, the whole point of this Maskil, the whole point of this Mizmor is to say how Doi Gadomi is going to meet his end, that things are not going to go well for him at the very end. Doi Gadomi's biggest issue was that he spoke Lashon Hara. It wasn't just Stam Lashon Hara, it was terrible Lashon Hara, which caused many people to die. And it didn't just cause people to die. Doi Gadomi was the one who killed them. That he told Shlomo Melech what Achimelech did, which was a lie, saying that he was helping out David Melech and trying to stage a coup against Shlomo Melech, etc. And then not only that, Shlomo Melech said, somebody go kill him, and Doeg said, I'll do it. And he went up and he killed based on his own false report that gave Shlomo Melech the wrong idea of what was happening over here. And that's what David Melech was so upset about. How could Doeg Adomi have done such a thing? How could he have been involved? Either way, that's the real problem.
Well, I mean, at least he didn't hire someone, get somebody else to get blood on their hands because of his lie. Mm,
that's a good call, but I think it'd be worse. Like somebody, I mean, in a way, it's worse because you're making, you know it's a lie, and yet you're still killing him. The other person is doing it because the king tells him to, you know what I'm saying? The king told you to do it. That's not considered murder, even though at the end of the day.
But he is the one who's responsible for it. How could he live with himself knowing that he just had somebody else murder somebody else?
Okay, I hear you. The guilt is there. But it's not like he did a chait. Doi Gadomi did a chait.
Well, where's your chait? He just like falsely got somebody and had him killed.
No, that's not what I mean. I mean, the guy you killed after Doi Gadomi had said the false report and told the king what to do, he might feel guilt, but at least he didn't do anything wrong, so to speak. I'm saying that Doi Gadomi is worse because he said the false report and then did something which was totally wrong and he knew it was wrong. Now, I hear what you're saying, David, that maybe he convinced himself that it was true, right? And he told himself, like, oh, this is for sure what happened, and he convinced himself. That's also hard to believe. It's hard to believe that Doi Gadomi, again, this man is a Talmud Chacham. He was paskening the halacha, the Gemara says, on whether or not David HaMelech was allowed to join the nation. And this is what he does. It's just difficult to think that way. Now, Edomi is a weird thing as well. Either he was from the land of Edom, or he came from Male Adumim, and that's why he's called Edomi, right? But not literally from anywhere else. It's a cool idea, right? Interesting one. Yeah, seriously, right? Or Edom is known as like an adjoining region, and that he was from outside.
Red.
Could be that way also. It could also be there was a ger. Yeah, it's possible he was a ger. It's very possible. I think the reason why they wouldn't accept that is because his whole issue is that Moab was not allowed to join Klai Yisrael. Edom has its own issue to join Klai
Yisrael. Yeah, but they'll allow it. Maybe three generations earlier.
Yeah, so maybe you're right. Maybe Edomi just meant he was an Edomi ger, which should have shown, like, why would you complain about Moab joining Klai Yisrael?
The name to him to show that this guy three generations don't marry until three generations.
Yeah, it's a good call. Maybe that's why they call him. His last name was Edomite, like they called Azulai. Right, Azulai was. It's not true about the Chidah, but Azulai was always Isha Zonim V'Chalala Lo Yikachu. It was a Kohen that married somebody improper, right? So that's what they called him. Matzidel Barag Yibor. Why do you praise yourself and you're evil, O strong man? Chesed El Kol Hayom. The Chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all day long for you. Like you don't deserve this, right? It's one thing for a mighty man to be proud of saving a guy from an oppressor, right? Something like that. But to be the oppressor, to be the guy who's oppressing others, right? And exploiting other people. How are you boasting against this? This is just not the way. So it says it's unbecoming of such a mighty warrior to have such an idea that to kill through guile and through trickery and through all this over here, it just doesn't make any sense. Why would you have done this over here? That's the idea over here. And that's the line of Chesed El Kol Hayom. If only you knew how many times you tried to get me in trouble and tried to get me killed, and yet God saved me. Right? Chesed El Kol Hayom. I should be dead because of you. But Baruch's chesed is with me all the time, and therefore I have no problem whatsoever. According to the Medrash, again, he's an abbezin. So crazy. Havos takshov l'shonecha. Your tongue always is thinking about lies, to say out lies. Kisar malutosh, like a sharp razor, osiremia. It does trickery, right? And that's the idea behind it. And they say, it's so interesting, the image of a man who wants to make a small incision with a sharp razor. You tried saying a little bit of a lie, but it made a huge tear. You destroyed Nov Iroquois. And maybe you're right, David, maybe that's what he's trying to say over here, that don't we got to tell him, maybe you started off saying just like an innocent little lie, like, hey, I saw David Melech by Achimelech. What's he doing by Achimelech? And just grew into this huge lie where all of a sudden Novir Akwana was destroyed because of that little tiny thing that you said, and you just added on to it. 58 Kohanim died on account of Doeg HaDomi. 58 were directly through him, and that's that. Doeg HaDomi had an excuse, says Nehemiah. This is a very interesting excuse. The reason why Doeg HaDomi felt that Achimelech and the Kohanim could be killed is because they were all from Beis Eli. And what did we learn about Beis Eli? Yeah, that Beis Eli...
That's God's job to take care of.
Exactly. No, but that was his excuse. His excuse was, these guys are over the age of 18. They shouldn't have lived over the age of 18, so therefore they're in death mode. Now, the truth is, we know that Beis Eli could not get a kapara through korbanos, but they could get a kapara through learning Torah. And chesed, right? Rabbah and Abaye, Rabbah learned Torah, lived to the age of 40. Abaye learned Torah and did chesed, and lived to the age of 60. You can add that. But he felt, or Doeg HaDomi felt, that's not good enough. And that's the idea behind. That's what happened over here.
He seems to have been delusional at this point.
I would assume so. He was young still. One of the measures, he died at the age of 34. Very young, or 33. I don't remember which one, 34 or 33. It's very young when it comes to this. But nonetheless, and that's that. Adomi, another reason why he was called Adomi, he used to make David's face crimson in matters of halakha. Unbelievable, right? And that's why David Melech called him a sharp razor. He's able to cut through halacha like a very sharp knife, go through it that way. Author Rami Tov, and yet you loved evil more than you loved good. Sheker mi davar tzedek zeli, you liked lies more than you liked tzedek, the righteousness over here. David Melech, right? David HaMelech was always, the line was Hashem Yitzliach v'chol d'rachov, that everything that he paskim ended up being correct. Well, Shaul HaMelech didn't get that. Could be that Doeg HaDomi didn't get that either, and he was always saying, like, how in the world is David HaMelech always right, but I'm always wrong? I'm also thinking in Torah. But halakhically, they paskim like David HaMelech instead of like Doeg HaDomi. Perhaps that's what it was. Regardless, that's what it is. That's what it is over there. There's an interesting line over here that he says about shooting an arrow. He says, speaking Lashon Hara is like shooting an arrow. When you shoot an arrow, you pull the bow closer to you, and then it shoots farther off, right? Similarly, if you want to speak evil of another person, first you say something that's true, so you bring the guy near, and then you throw him all the way out. You tell these tremendous lies over here, and that's the idea of what he did. Now, that's Sheker Midaber Tzedek. You're trying to do that. But remember the whole trick that Yohanan and David HaMelech wanted to do in shooting the arrows all the way out and saying it's farther than you, etc. Maybe it's something to do with this. I remember there's Chassam Sofer on this. I just don't remember exactly what the Chassam Sofer says. Well, after called Divrei Bala, you desire all words that destroy, that devour. Lashon Mirma, a tongue of trickery, of deceit.
Isn't that also what you say about the spies? That they started Eretz, gone Eretz, Vash, Vash, Vash.
They said the truth, right? Exactly. Rashi says exactly that. That they would only be, they would only say something that was like that. Alright, anyway. Doeg was present when Achimelech said, oh, and here's the problem. Here's the real problem with Doeg HaDomi. He saw Achimelech give bread and the sword to David HaMelech and said nothing at the time. Only when he went to Shaul did he say something wrong. What should he have said to Achimelech? He should have said, wait a second, this guy is running away from the king. Don't give him anything. He doesn't deserve anything. That's what he should have said. Then he would have saved Achimelech's life, and Achimelech would have been like, oh, I had no idea. I thought that David HaMelech was working for Shaul HaMelech. He certainly made it sound that way, right? So he would have had no idea. But Doeg HaDomi didn't do that. He purposely waited till later, right? And therefore, in a way, he destroyed himself.
Doeg was telling the truth. Isn't Kohanim entitled to a trial?
Without it, well, unless it's Morid B'Malchus. Morid B'Malchus, no, you're not entitled
right,
to
a trial. Right, but can a king determine someone's Morid B'Malchus with just one? I mean, how does some random guy, like, this guy's rebelling against you. Like, somebody could be angry at their neighbor, go to the king, this guy's rebelling, and have it.
You know, that's a great question. I remember there being the tshuva of the Chassams. There's a funny tshuva in Chassam Sofer and Orach Chaim, Reish Chas. It's the very last one in Orach Chaim. It's a really long one. Where the Marat Chias, Reb Tzir Chias, sends his sefer over to the Chassam Sofer. It's a sefer all about Malchus. Like, who was Moshe Rabbeinu considered a melech, was Yeshua considered a melech, all about who was considered a melech and the status of a king, etc. And he talks about that. And the Chassam Sofer argues on almost everything. He said, I only read 10 pages and here are my aras. He goes on and he says he has like 20 aras on those 10 pages. But the Maritz Chias, one of the things he talks about was exactly that. I don't remember offhand. But it makes sense that you'd have a trial. But Achimelech clearly didn't have a trial with Shaul HaMelech.
Maybe the king himself sees somebody be more determined on his own, but how could he listen to somebody else saying, like, this guy's more of a...
Well, we see it from Shaul HaMelech that he didn't, though. So the question is, do we learn from Shaul HaMelech? that clearly you don't need a trial. If you hear the guy's rebelling.
But you're, how do I know he's telling the truth?
Yeah.
Yes, Doyle was a trusted advisor.
Yeah.
You can't, I mean.
I hear what you're saying, because David HaMelech did so to Uriah Hachiti. He never judged him, right? But he put him on the front lines, and his excuse was because he was more of a mouth.
There was no judgment. There was, but David HaMelech himself experienced it and saw it. So he was tested right.
I hear what you're saying. That's good. And over here, Shaul HaMelech never saw it. He just heard it, and somehow he accepted it. Yeah. It's funny, because we don't see that Shaul HaMelech sinned by accepting the Lashon Hara of Doeg. We assume that that was a chit on Shaul HaMelech's part. We don't see that as a chit written in the in Gemara. We see quite a few chatoim of Shaul HaMelech going against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. We don't see that he's mekabel Lashon Hara. Maybe he did judge him. Maybe he did.
How did you didn't judge if there was another person there?
Maybe Achimelech was there. Maybe there's something that the Navi is not telling us. It's a good question.
Whole, they arrested all 58 Kohanim and
Brothers. Would all go after Achimelech. Would all go after Achimelech, whatever Achimelech
said. Are you saying that everyone's declaring war on Shaul? Like, you're sitting at home washing his dishes, and all of a sudden it's like, Achimelech gave the sword.
You know what? You're saying, do we have a, we don't have the Tanakh here, do we?
Yeah.
You know, if we look it up, you're right, because the wording that Shaul HaMelech said to Achimelech, I think there's wording that Shaul HaMelech talks to Achimelech, and Achimelech says, how was I supposed to know? I thought, isn't he your son-in-law? I think that actually was said, and he said, you're chayiv misa. I forgot what it is, but I think that was, it almost could be like a court case. That's a possibility. Where are we talking? We're talking Shkarach. Thank you, Danny. It's Shaul HaMelech, where, let's say like 15. So, Yehonah's son, it's before that, it's earlier. Shmuel and Abi, here we go, Shmuel and Shaul. Shaul is singled out, Shaul proves himself. No, it's a good tangent, this is a good tangent, is it? War with the Philistines, Shmuel reassures the people. Okay, here we go. Ah, guys, now we have the rise of David HaMelech, David and Goliath. Here we go. David Yehonah's son. Where else do we have Shaul's war? At Cohen, here we go, here we go. So it says, Vayomer David, in Kamotan and Ali, Vayomer Achish, etc. Yeshanu Asamu Vayanim. Okay, that's when we went to Achish, and he changes himself. We're going to talk about that in a few prakim. That's the next thing that we want, that we have over here. He hid over there. Ganav Yishma Shol, Kinoda David. Joey's treachery. Here we go. He stood over there. He came to Achimelech ben Achitub. He asked Hashem what to do. He called him. They called these Aviv Kohanim and all the Kohanim. They all came to the king. Here I am, my master. Shaul said to him, why do you start a coup? He gave him bread. And you asked God for him. You allowed him to be in ambush in this. Who among all your servants is like David, who is trustworthy? He's the son-in-law of the king. He listens to everything you say. He's the most honorable of your house. The wrong words, right? Is today the first day that he asked Hashem what to do? Nobody here did anything wrong. I don't know at all. Yeah, it seems that there was a court case.
So he was taking the word of Doeg over the word of
Achimelech. He understood it as a reason. Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe that is it. All right. Then it says,
because it's a witness with him?
Maybe it could be, and he wasn't as cautious as Zoe. Gam el yitotzkol lenetzach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will crush you forever. Yatzkol v'yisoch hacham yo. He will take you up and pluck you from the tent, you know, from the tent of the base medrash itself. Vishay reshkol me'eretzchaim selah, and destroy you from the living land. Chazal darshan from here, that doi gadomi is no chelik in olam haba. From this line, shay reshkol me'eretzchaim selah. Yeah, that there's not going to be anything there. There seems to be three lines over here. Number one is el yitotzkol lenetzach, that, in other words, your soul should be lost completely. Yaakov Yisrael, Ohel, that you should lose your Torah learning, right? That's that. Yisrael Shkol Meretz Chaim Sela, and you should not have Olam Haba. The Yeru Tzedikim Yiro, the Tzedikim are going to see this, they're going to be afraid. Because if Doeg has no Chelek in Olam Haba, the man who's such a great Talmud Chacham, and Av Beis Din, what are we? We can't rely on anything.
Yeah, but that's
love you
to make up a false testimony about somebody that has been killed. Like, I mean,
you're right. Yeah, but, and again, we could say that he was excusing himself or whatever it was, but you're right. Obviously, he had done something that was so terribly wrong, it couldn't possibly be understood. Rather, they love Yitzchak, and then they laugh. They laugh when they see it. They say, how in the world could this be? It's just impossible to even consider. This is the man who did not allow God to be his stronghold, his oz. But Yitzchak Barov Ashro, he trusted in his abundance of riches. Yo'uz Bahavo, so he strengthened himself in his wickedness and assumed that he was going to be perfectly fine with everything that he had over here. He thought he was going to be fine. Vani Kazayas Ranan, but me, I am like a Zayas Ranan, a shady olive tree of Elohim in the house of God. But Tati Bechasad Elohim Olamvoed, I am always going to trust in the Chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does it mean in evergreen? An olive tree doesn't wither. It sort of keeps its leaves. It's sort of like an evergreen that it keeps itself all year long. And the truth is, olives are that way as well. It's bitter at first when you first have it. They become sweet as it goes on. The more you have it, or when you turn it into oil, it becomes a little bit sweeter. That is a reference, says Miyam Loez, to the kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that at first it ends up looking like it's bitter, and at the end it's sweet, and everything's there. And he understands that's the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The chesed of Hashem starts off, and sometimes it might be a little bit hurtful because I'm not ready for it, but then it turns out to be the best thing for me. That's that. Which one?
That last direction just said.
Oh, they're right over here.
That's all bitter.
Yeah, even when my life is tranquil, calm, where is it? He said, the olive is bitter at first, right, and sweet in the end. Similarly, my afflictions will end in loving kindness. Oh, David Melo. David Melo is thinking about himself. Oh, I would say. Unfortunately, the Melo isn't quoting anybody. There's nothing over here that quotes. It doesn't go there. So.
You said they just throw online that the library is open on 8 to 9? Is that outdated?
I have no idea. Absolutely no idea. We wouldn't know. Definitely not in the summer. I mean, not when the basement is. I'm so sorry. Yeah, it doesn't look like it.
When will the open drives?
Probably when the school's back in session. I would assume September. Yeah. I would assume that. If you call the office tomorrow, they'll be able to tell you any information.
Okay, let's just fly back to the show tomorrow.
Oh.
So, you guys have a minister
here? Not here. We have one at 9:45. But the regular, there is one by Gustin. Right now.
Okay, so.
Do you know where, David, do you know where, how to tell them where to go?
Just down to...
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. Anyway, but that's that. That's that. It's interesting also that we can talk about olive trees as well. I will thank you forever, Kiyasiso, because you have done it. I hoped for your name, or I wish for your name, Kitov Nege Chasidecha. It is good for your Chasidim. That's an interesting line over here. But I'm going to thank you for everything you've done at Kadosh Baruch Hu, and I'll give thanks for all the Chasid that you've done, for every bit of Chasid that you've done over here. Okay, that's the end of Nun Beis, which talk about this. Now we have an interruption, so to speak. And I talked to this Mizmor is exactly like a Mizmor that we had up above in Yud-Dalet. If you actually want to cross-reference over here, if you want to look up what it says in Yud-Dalet, we can probably put it out over here. It's literally almost the exact same words. Look what it says. L'natzeach al-machalas, maskel David. It's l'natzeach an-machalas, right, as a maskel David. So here, see Yud-Dalet? Hold on. Yeah, it's this one over here. Here it just is Lamnatzeach LeDavid, etc. And it's got a little bit of a thing. It says, nobody does anything whatsoever. Nobody does anything good. But here he says, right, it's a Maskel David. Now, Machalas refers to a sickness. When he saw what was going to happen in the future, he got sick and seeing it over here. The Mamloi says it's referring to the Chorban Beis HaMikdash and refers to the Nivalen, the disgusting people that tried to destroy. The first Neville, Amar Neville, Belibo, and Elohim. Yeah, it says it. That makes sense. But the first one...
That it's like Yud-Dalet.
Yeah, Yud-Dalet. That makes sense. The Amar Neville, Belibo over here is referring to Nebuchadnezzar. This Neville that we're going to talk about over here is specifically Titus. And this is the word we're referring to. Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the first base of Mikdash. Titus destroyed the second base of Mikdash. Okay, Machlas could also refer to a musical instrument of some sort that we are not privy to anymore, right? It could be refers to our illness and exile. It could refer to people who are unlearned in Torah, not able to learn Torah. Amar Neville Belibo, then Neville, the abominable one, said to his heart, Ein Elokim, there is no God. So same over here. Amar Neville Belibo, Ein Elokim. Hishchisu v'yisivu avel, right, there's an extra vav here. Over here we say the word alila. They destroy, right? They've done terrible things, evil. Ein Esetov, and they don't do any good whatsoever. The villain, the bad person, keeps doing evil after evil. They're ruled by their their type and not allowing anything else to go through and stuff like that. It's interesting. Novel is compared to the word navelos or navelos, as in carcasses. Okay? Carcasses, he says, is a reference to the circuses where the Romans had amphitheaters and pagan temples that they ruled over everywhere.
Some like Greek words in there, because kirkos is circus and
kirkos, right. Novel.
Carcass is.
And navelos, right. Novel and navelos have no shyness to circuses. That word is never used for a circus, right? But we don't have a real word for circus. The most we have is carcusim, right? You know, kirkos, right? I don't know what the Aramaic word exactly is, but that's all we have. Carcusios, that's what it says in Mara Budazara.
They use kirkos.
Kirkos, that's what they use. So it's interesting.
I wonder what Google Translate is.
Elohim. Now it's interesting. In Yidalit it says the word Hashem. Here it's Elohim. Mishmai Mishkip up in Adam. He looks down at the people there. Liros, Hayish Maskil, is there any wise man, Doris Elohim, that searches after God? Is there anyone who's looking for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a proper Talmud Chacham? Kulo Sog, over there it says HaKol Sor. Here it says Kulo Sog. Everything is dross, disgusting. Yachtav Nalachu, they all go foul. There's no one that does good. There is no one at all when it comes to this whatsoever. That they're Nasog Achor, they go backward and they are corrupt. There's nothing good about anything that happened here. Right? Don't they know, all those who do sin, that eat my consumer nation like they eat bread. Elohim lo koro, and they don't call out to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Once again, over here it says Elohim, right? In Yud Dalet it says Hashem lo koro, Yud Kei Vav Kei lo koro, right? And that's that. So they eat of B'nai of my nation like they eat bread. They consume everything they can. Says in Pasuk Vav, Shom pachdu pachad lo yafachad. They were in great fear, but there was nothing to be afraid of. Kilim pizarat moskonach. Hashem scattered the bones of those who were camping within you. Heavy show, so they are embarrassed. Kilim also, because God despised them. There's a couple extra words over here that we added on, right? Atzasani savishu ki Hashem achseyu. There's a couple extra things over here, but either way, mi yitei mitzion Yeshua Yisrael, who can bring the Yeshua for Ben Israel, b'shuv Elohim shvusamo, when God brings back the returnees of his nation, Yagol Yaakov, Yaakov will rejoice, Yismach Yisrael, Yisrael will be happy. Once again, Elohim instead of the word Hashem. So it is interesting that you see throughout this whole Mizmor that Elohim is used instead of Hashem, instead of Yudke Vavke. It seems that it's definitely referring to some type of Midas HaRachamim was still used in the first base of Mikdash, while Midas HaDin was pure in the second base of Mikdash. After all, first base of Mikdash only took 70 years to bring us back. At the second base of Mikdash, I mean, at least 1900 years until we got brought back, if you count 1948, right? And if it's not 1948, then to bring us back is 2000 years to bring us all there. Now, it's interesting also, what does that have to do with what he just said about Doi Gladomi? And then the next thing is more. Well, seemingly, you could at least say that these are Mizmorim of David Melech's life. Because the next one is the Boazithim, when the Zithim came and said something bad about David Melech. So at least you can see these like happenings in David Melech's life. And in fact, if you go on, 55 is when this is a whole thing that happened when he was running away from Absalom. Little things that were happening. But what does this have any shyness to what's going on over here? So it says this, that Doeg and the Zithim both conspired against David Melech. And David sat there, right, and saw that his enemies had plotted his death and they were paid back in kind. So David Melech is davening that the same thing should happen to the enemies of the Jews who destroyed the Batei HaMikdash. That when those enemies come along, the same type of idea should happen, that they should be marked for the future destruction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He shouldn't let them live. That's what he put this in here for. Okay, let's go to the next one, the Zithim. This is Parak Nun Dalet. Twice the Zithim tried to get David Melech in trouble. But having given his Maskil David, this is again with Neginos, and we said before, Neginos is some type of musical instrument. It seems like he needed Neginos, that one menagin was not enough. He needed many. He was so melancholy, so sad at the time. He needed many different things to be able to bring up. But the point of this mizmor is to always trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no matter what happens to us in Gullus, whatever happened to David HaMelech when he was running away, trust in Hashem, he'll take care of you. The Zithim had told Shaul HaMelech where David HaMelech was, and David HaMelech was hiding in a cave. This is not the time when Shaul HaMelech came to go to the bathroom, etc. Shaul HaMelech had surrounded the mountain. There was literally nowhere for David HaMelech to go. And David HaMelech called out to Hashem, and he said, I've got nothing. There's nothing. There's nowhere I can go. And Shlomo was immediately called, some say by a malach, to fight against the Plishim. The Plishim had fought right at that moment, and they had to run away. And David HaMelech was saying, it's unbelievable. I put it in your hands, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you saved me. Right? I shouldn't have been saved. This is an amazing deal that you gave to me that I could never have expected. And that's why he was trusting in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and saying, always trust. They came to Shaul and they said, David is hiding amongst us. Now, why was David hiding among the Zifim? The answer is, the Zifim were in Shevet Yehuda. These Zifim were relatives of David HaMelech. Zifim is just a family. There were people from Zif. It was either a land or a family or whatever it was. But they were Yehudaic mix. They were people from Shevet Yehuda. So David HaMelech thought he would be safe among them. It's his own family. But they didn't. They were ready to deliver him up. They were ready to speak that Lashon Hara. I like that. Now it's interesting. In Ahab's time, remember Captain Ahab, right? He had many people at his time who were all Ba'achtos. Although there were evil people and doing many evil things, they were Ba'achtos. And therefore, whenever Ahab went out to war, he would win the wars. David HaMelech had many people during his time who spoke Lashon Hara, and because of that, they were not always successful in war. That was the difference between them. I'm sorry? David HaMelech personally was extremely successful, but Shlomo HaMelech's army did not always win. They were about to lose, right, a huge war right there. But the reason why is because they did not have Achdus, and they were speaking Lashon Hara against one another.
Did you see that they found a cemetery from the Philistines?
Yeah, I've heard about that. I didn't see the details,
though. I didn't read that, but I saw an article saying
I saw details. What were the details, though? How did they know it was the Philistines?
I mean, I don't know. They had, like, different... It was just very interesting.
They had Dagon? Was Dagon there?
They found full skeletons, and they found, like, different things they were buried with.
But to know how they knew that it was the Philistines. That's great.
I mean, they're able to tell that
the Palestinians said it was them. Palestinians say, oh, that's my dad.
Well, they weren't protesting that they were digging up their ancestors' graves.
It is weird. How do they allow them to do that? Why would they allow them to do that?
Because A, it's in Ashkelon, and B, they know that it's not their ancestors.
Elohim, Bishim Hojieni, oh God, by your name save me, Vugrasa Sidineni, and by your strength I need you to judge me, not anybody else. Avenge the people that are going up against me. Because clearly I can't trust anyone. There's no one that I can trust anymore if I can't trust Ezekiel. Elohim Shemat Tfilasi. God, listen to my tefillah. Azinalim Marfi. Put your ear, or give ear to the words of my mouth. Ki Zarin Kamalai. There are strangers that have come up against me. There are violent men that are searching for my soul. That obviously is a reference to Shaul and his men. Maybe even Doeg. Some Elohim Lenegam Sela. Kadosh Baruch Hu, do not allow me to be set before them forever and ever. And that's the idea behind it. So there were violent men. Some wanted to kill him straight up. Others just wanted to hand him over to Shaul, right? That's that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, you have to help me when it comes to all these people. In Elohim Ozerli, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to save me. Hashem b'somchei nafshi. Hashem is the one, or Adonai b'somchei nafshi, the one who sustained my soul. And Hashem helped through the Plishim themselves, asking for them to do everything out of that. Now, there is another line over here as well. He would have been okay if they were doing it with Shem Shemayim, if they honestly felt that Shlomo HaMelech was supposed to be king. He realized that the Zifim were doing this for power, in order to gain something from Shlomo HaMelech. When he saw that, he said they're not doing it for the right reasons. He may have accepted it. Okay, there are people who, l'shem shemayim, they want to do it. They feel that Shlomo HaMelech is supposed to be king. I'm okay with that. But not what these guys were doing. He didn't feel that was that. Yashuvah l'shel roi, return that evil to those who lie in wait against him. Mitzchah hatzmisayim, destroy them in your truth. See the truth of what they really are doing. Bindava ez b'chalof, with a free will offering, with an edava, I will shecht to you, that's his promise, I will bring you a korban if I get saved over here, a korban toda over here. Odishim chashem kitayv, I will thank your name, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it is good. It's interesting, by the way, I would think that the korban toda, remember, you're chayv in a korban toda, and David HaMelech talks about this a little bit later, for four reasons. We only learn it from David HaMelech, from Mizmor Kuf Zayin. That's where we learn everything about the korban toda. But you're only chayv in a korban toda for four things. If you escape jail, right, if you're no longer sick, meaning you get over your sickness, if you cross over the sea, right, and then what's the fourth one? Travel through the Midbar, if you go through the desert itself. So David HaMelech, I would assume, felt that this was taking him out of jail, that he was somebody who was seeing death right in the face, as if he was captured, etc., and he was released from jail through the great miracle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him, and that's the Thanksgiving. You have saved me from all pain. My eye has gazed upon my enemies. I saw my enemies. I could see how close they were, and yet still I was saved. That's the concept behind it. Okay, now, Nunhei, what do you got?
They discovered this cemetery outside the ancient walls, the walls of ancient Ashkelon, so they assume that it's the Plishtim, because the Plishtim
have no right.
So
So they're testing the bones to figure out whether or not they actually
were
where
their ancestry is from, because the Philistines weren't native to the Middle East. They think that they came from Europe.
Well, no, they were the Plishtim. They would have been black. They were from Cush.
Who says that?
The Chumash. Chumash. Plishtim are from Cush. They're one of the great grandkids of Cush.
Oh, you're talking about Noah.
Yeah, all the way back. That's where the Plishtim came. They couldn't have come from Europe.
See what the DNA test is.
That's interesting. Yeah, I would assume they were black.
No, because they know that they're not native to the land of Israel.
So they have one of those.
They traveled there.
Oh, they have that.
Here,
I don't know. Oh, right here. Hold on. Plishtim. Yeah, Plishtim are right here. They're from Chum. They were the children of. That's weird. I don't even know. It seems that they were from the Pasrusim or the Kalushim. Pasrusim, Kalushim. In theory, I guess, because we know Mitzrayim gave birth to the Ludim, that's the people below them, the Ethiopians, etc., and the Pasrusim, Kasluchim gave birth to the Pelishtim. So, however that works, I don't know. However,
their theory is that they're sea people. They come from.
It could be they were. Yeah, could be. Could be, but the question is from where?
Not if they're from that.
We'll see people from North Africa. Don't say they're not from North Africa. It'd be interesting to see how they would go through.
North Africa's all Arab now. Well,
now. Yeah, that's not a riot, though. Yeah, that includes Egypt also, but Egypt we know wasn't that. Egypt would have been, Mitzrayim was the son of Khan. Right, so he might not have been, that's the thing. They might not have been black, but they would have been from that land. Maybe, I don't know, maybe they're all from Mesopotamia because they were all there and Chum eventually went down to Africa. Maybe not all of them did. I don't know. Check it out. You know, the truth is, there's Midrashim on this about where these nations went. So the Midrashim and Medrash Rabbah speak about it. Nobody goes through them because they're kind of hard to read. So, all right, Nunu. Lanatam bin Ginos Maskel, this is in Parak Nunhe over here. This is, again, the conductor, Niginos, many songs. Maskel Odovin is a Maskel for David Melch. Ha'azina Elohim Tfilasi, listen how God might feel about Islamic Tfilasi, and do not hide from my Tfilasi. Now, here's the issue. He's either worried about the fakers who are saying to Shalom Melech, right, go kill this guy, while they were saying to David Melech, oh, we love you, we're on your side. But they would fake it in front of Shalom Melech and try to kill him. Or this one, he was running away from Absalom. If he was running away from Absalom, the rest of the Mizmor is kind of easy to translate. If it's running away from the servants of Shaul, it's not going to be the easiest to translate. Listen to me and answer me. I'll read the Sichi Vahima. I'm upset. I've got my complaints, my Siach Vahima, and I moan over everything that's happened to me. So it's that. It's not only that I'm going to daven to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm literally going to cry out loud to you, and I'm going to complain because this is too much, especially if it's Absalom. A child, my own kid, who I spent all this time with, and this is what I get back. How in the world? I'm pointing this out for everybody. Because David Melech was a chassid beyond belief. He's 68 years old. He was a person who, according to him, Libi Chalal Bikirbi, and Chazal tell us that he defeated his Yetzer Hara. The times of Avshalom, if it's Avshalom, would have been toward the end of his life.
Right,
we don't. It's one of two. I think it's one of two. It's either he's complaining about the Avdei Shaul who were against him, which would have been when he was much younger, for sure, or it's about Avshalom, so he'd have been 68. But think about that. Well, you're 68 years old. He said, Libi Chalal Bikirbi, that I no longer have that Yitzhahara. He didn't have a desire to do whatever it is. And he had to run away from his kingdom and lose 10 of his concubines because of his son? Who has that happen to him? That doesn't happen. It's so rare to find that. A son killing a father is not like it's never happened. Happened before. Many princes have killed their fathers in order to become king. It's just a rarity. Absalom was the next in line to become king. He was the next in line to become king. Now, granted, it may have been public that Nelson and Nabi.
Absalom may have known also that. If he doesn't make it that, you know, he's not going to get it.
It is, because Nathan and Nabi did have the prophecy that Bathsheba was going to have the next king. So people may have known that prophecy.
Promised to Bathsheba that Shlomo would be king.
I don't know if that was public, though. That's the point. I don't know if that was public. That's my only point. Maybe Absalom knew about it. Maybe that's why he had to take over. But it's a Pella over here. Regardless, right, that's that. But there are two ways to make yourself heard. Through tears and through cries. Crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he's saying, I want both of those over here. Mikolo yed mi b'nei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the Russia, Kiam Mitu Alai Oven, as they pour out against me with evil, but Af Yistimuni, they persecute me out of anger. Now, here he's referring to Absalom, and not only that, but the person that was on Absalom's side. Who is the chief advisor of Absalom? Achitophel. Achitophel is his old friend, the one who was with him the entire time. He said, like, I hear that voice, I hear what's going on, and I realized that it's all stemming from Achitophel and everything and trying to do everything over here. They gave me all this hardship and this pain. Some say the voice of the enemy is a reference to the shofar of the coronation of Absalom that he was hearing with his oath. Libi yachil bikirbi. My heart is shaking within me. The emos mavet naflu alai, and the fear of death falls upon me, and I have no hope. I have no hope. I've lost my hope, and that's what it means. Yachol bikirbi is shaking. Maybe you can learn it as tocheles, as some type of hope that I have deep down inside. But I'm scared. I'm scared. Yira yavarad yavovi. I've got fear and trepidation that come against me. Chaseni palatsus. It covers me with horror. Can I ask you, how do you say horror? Like a horror movie in Hebrew. How do you say that? It's just Ema? So palatsus. Plotsus. Like plotsus. Right?
Plotting.
Yeah, like plotting. I think that's where it comes from. Palatsus is translated by the Amloes over here as horror. I don't think, you know what? Let's see very quickly. 55. The breakage is something like that. What is the art scroll translated as? Let's see if we get it over here. It is... What pasuk is it? Terrors of death? No, that... 6, right over here. I'm overcome with horror. He says horror as well. That's interesting. Okay. So that's that. But Olmach, immediately Eber Kayono Ufa Ashkoina, who would give me a wing like a dove so I could fly away and I would rest somewhere else?
This is
I just want to flee.
Moroccan song.
Is it really?
It's a really nice song. I can't sing it, but...
I want to flee. Is it like...
No.
But he's saying you can flee. This is an interesting one. I never knew this. Before passenger pigeons, they used to use doves as messengers. Because domesticated doves always go back to their home. That's what it is. Now, it's not a kunz. All birds go back to where they're from. When they migrate, right, they go back. But yeah, clearly the dove was used, right? So doves were used for messages. You took a dove out of your house and you sent it to wherever it needs, you know, however it was, you bring it somewhere. And then when you let it go, it'll come right back to you. So here's the deal. Normal birds, when they come to rest, they sit on a rock or they do something, they could be caught. Doves, they don't need to rest. They have the ability to keep flying by flying with one wing instead of two. I don't know how that works exactly. It seems very, very counterintuitive to fly with one wing, right? I don't know how that works exactly. Plus, I don't even know if that's true, if there's any bird that can fly with one wing and not the other. I don't think that's possible. I'm pretty sure that the wings are attached to the same part of the spine, that if one wing goes, the other wing goes with it. For example, it's famous that, like, all penguins, they have, like, they're made like udders, you know what I'm talking about? Like by a boat, the way they're made with their wings, they go like that and like that. They're like little bullets that go through, and it's amazing how their wings go like that. I think all birds are like that, but I'm not positive about that. Because I'll say not like that. So maybe there's some other way. But he means like I just want to go without any enemies. I don't want to have any battles anymore. I want to be done. Or it's a reference to the Yonah that was sent out by Noah from the Teva. Where did the Yonah go when it didn't come back? Yonah went to get the olive branch and it brought it back, and then the third time it didn't come back. Where to go?
Oh, wow.
So I'll tell us in Zvachim, Gan Eden, which is close enough. It might as well be. But that's that. I wish that I was like the dove flying away and being able to rest. In the Archik Nadoid, I would wander far off. Olimba Midbor Sela, I would lodge in the Midbor. I would go in the desert forever. Achisha Miklali, I would quickly escape. Miroch saw from the stormy winds. Misar, from all the tempests, from all the crazy, devastating hurricanes and everything like that that's coming up against me, the wind, right? I would wait. I would wait out of Shalom. I would wait until the struggle is gone, and then it would come back. Bala Adonoi, destroy HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Palag Lashonam, divide their tongue. I see the violence in the fights in the city. Avshalom thinks it's going to be better if he takes over in the city itself. But remember what Avshalom did? Avshalom went up to every person after they would come out of court. He knew who was going to win and who wasn't going to win, right? And he would say to the person who wasn't going to win, oh man, I would have judged like you. Right? So everybody said, oh man, I wish I would have gone to Avshalom, because the winners knew that they won. The losers said, well, I would have won if I would have gone to Avshalom. All of a sudden, the court cases came up to Avshalom when he was king, right? And Avshalom had to judge like one of them and not the other. So they came out, and all of a sudden there were massive fights. You told me that I would win with such a case. How could you? And then there were all of a sudden fights, because Absalom, his whole rise to fame.
Time to be judging people when he was fighting a war.
I don't think he was fighting yet. This might have been, you know.
The court went with this king.
Yeah, but how long was his...
I mean, you're right. According to one shot, it seems it was only like a week. It literally seems like a week, because the first day he wanted to chase after David HaMelech. Maybe there's something more, that there would have been even more than that. He did have time to be together with 10 concubines and answer them. correct. And perhaps it was a little bit more than that. Maybe he did have time to sit down once in a while with these, but he judged like one of them and not like both. He was not what he promised. He said, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to David HaMelech, he's saying, Pawad Lashonim, let them argue. I want them to have some fights. I don't want Achdus by the Rishayim. I want them to fight with one another. I want them to strife with one another. So they go, Yom Valayli Savuach, almost day and night they go around upon the walls themselves. That's what we're referring to, the amount of evil that was there. You see the evil and the toil within it. There's watchmen who are patrolling the city, but they're not doing it the way that I was taking care of these watchmen. The watchmen that I had in the city were making sure that people weren't doing anything wrong. The watchmen that Avshalom set up is that people don't fight each other. But people were doing evil. People saw, oh, David Mel's not here anymore. Baruch Hashem, now we can throw off the yoke of Torah and we can just do whatever we want. Dalal says, you see what's going on in the city when I leave. Habos Bikrabah, there's wickedness within. We're not moving away from the streets, any oppression and the what's called fraud and all the whatever. There's havoc that's going on. Now that I'm gone, right, look what's happening. If it was an enemy that was taunting me, I'd carry it myself. I'd handle it. You know what I'm saying? If Shimon ben Gera is going to yell at me, dude, I can handle the taunts of a Shimon ben Gera. Lo misani, a lying deal, nor was it my enemy who was just boasting against me. That's a ceremony that I just hide from. The enemy said, like, well, I'm greater than you. Like, you probably are. And that's it. Like, I'd be fine with that. If it was just that. If it was just one person, it wouldn't be anything. But here, it's more than that. Taunts I can take, right? I can even take when an enemy comes up against me, but I can't take a guy who's such a hypocrite that he pretends to be my friend, pretends to be my advisor, and then turns against me on a whim, like Achitofel. I cannot believe that a person of his magnitude, of his strength, of his power, went up against me like this and totally threw me under the bus. It's a friend gone bad. So that's the deal. It's one thing when you have an enemy that goes up against you and says something, you know, against you. Fine. That's what happens. Enemies do that. A friend does that, I feel 100 times worse. He was my friend. I want that guy as my friend. I don't want him as my enemy. Batanosh Kariki, you are a man of my worth. We asked Shilas together. We learned together in the base matters. Alufi, you are my leader, you were my friend, right? That's the idea behind it. You were somebody who I learned a halakha from. Because I'll say that he learned 2 halakhos from Achitofel. I don't know what the 2 halakhos were. There's 1 halakha that you are allowed to erase the name of Hashem if the world is going to be destroyed otherwise. That's something in the Gemara Baba Kama. The rock down into the pit, right? So that's one. I don't know what the other halakha was that he learned from Achitofel, but that for sure he learned from him. But it's interesting over here. Notice that he calls him Enosh Ke'erki, a man like my equal, and then my leader, right, and somebody who's my friend, or somebody who's like that. So at first, he called him a great, great tzaddik, and then somebody who teaches me something, but that's it, and then you're just my friends. He was going down and down and down. He saw the regression of Achitofel going down, and how he had lost everything that was there. Asher Yachtov Namtik, so together.
Alufi is better than Enosh Ke'erki.
So he says that, Rabbi Yochanan says not like that. Rabbi Yochanan says,
my equal.
Yeah.
He's my master.
I think Alufi means a person who taught me something, but I think when it says Enosh Ke'erki, a guy of my worth, he means like a leader of men, like an ultimate leader. Alufi just means you taught me something. You're just a teacher.
One of my generals.
Yeah, just like somebody in charge or whatever it is, and then Yudai, you're just my friend. And that's how Rabbi Yochanan darshans it in the what's called, in the Medrash itself. But yeah, the other way of looking at it is that he was just the greatest. So together, we seeked counsel. Now that obviously they just referred to, we talked to each other about what to do in the kingdom or whatever it is, but it seems that he's referring to going to the base matters together. We talked about Seidus HaTorah together, trying to figure out the depths of the Torah. It's the house of God. We walk together with everybody else with feeling. There was a regesh between me and you. That's the idea behind it. Now, there is a story behind these words. It's interesting over here. In the beginning, Achitofel was a man my equal. They were both in Shaul HaMelech's army. David HaMelech was the commander of 1,000 men, and so was Achitofel. He was Alufi. He was a commander of 1,000 men. Moreover, he was a friend. He was a kinsman on the side of David's wife, Michal, some say through Bathsheba. And we had counsel together on whether or not it's good for me to marry Michal, marry Bathsheba, etc. It's interesting because Bathsheba, according to Chazal, is Achitofel's great-granddaughter. Great-granddaughter. Chazal say that Achitofel was able to have a child when he was very, very young. To Gemara in Sanhedrin in the 8th Parak, it really is hard for me to understand. If Bathsheba really is the great-granddaughter of Achitofel, which is seen from
the
Ksuvim.
The opinion that says that it's the great-granddaughter doesn't agree with the opinion since he was only 34.
You'd have to say something like that. But even so, how old was Achitofel? How old is he?
Well, maybe he was much older.
Yeah. Yeah. Either way, he said there was no fight between us. We shared secrets, right? And the house of God, we walked together with everybody else. But now you turned against me. It's sort of like a story of how Dovinov is talking about it when it comes to that. According to another Maimon Chazal, they kept chumras together. There were chumras that Dovinov and Achitopel kept together that nobody else had. And that was the sodos that they had that nobody else did. Anyway, Yashim Maves Aleinu? Yeah. Yashim Maves Aleinu. May he incite death upon all of them. I'm sorry, not Aleinu. Aleinu. Yerdu Shol Chayinish. Go down to Gehenna alive. He wrote them Gurum Bikirbam. There is evil dwelling amidst them, in their, amongst them. So Yashim Maves, and the reason why it's in one word, it's read as one, it's read as two words, but it's written as one word, is that the death should be immediate. May God punish them immediately and cause them to die suddenly, no prior illness. And that is what happened. Achitophel died very suddenly.
Suicide.
Killed himself, right? And Abshalom as well. Abshalom died very suddenly in the middle of the war. He got caught in his hair by a tree. And then whatever happened, eventually Yoav killed him. Yoav is the one that stabbed him to death. Right? But that's what happened over there. So that's the idea behind it. He said, I want an onesh for him, like Korach got. I want him to get the same type of death that Korach had. And that's what it means. Yerdu Sha'ol Chaim. He should go down Gehenna alive. Essentially, the Bnei Korach were the tale I'm read before this. But yeah, were you going to say that?
Revenge, a very righteous...
The Gemara says, Nikmas, the wording, I'm forgetting the wording, Nikmas Talmidei Chachamim has to be done. It's the Nekama of a Talmud Chacham is a mitzvah, something like that. I can't remember the exact wording.
Praying to God to take revenge, not doing it himself.
That is correct. Yeah, that is correct. But I forgot what the word is. Nikamos Hashem Tofia in the dark. No, but it's something like that. It's something like that, but I don't remember the exact way. It's not that, because the El Nekama of Hashem is Hashem, not the Yom from Wednesday. But no, obviously, vengeance is not. But Talmud Chacham, She'enu Nokim Menoter Kinachash. It's a Gemara Tainus. It's on Daf Dalid. Kol Tamachalom She'enu Nokim Menoter Kinachash. Forgetting the rest of it. But he has to. A Talmud Chacham for Kavodat Torah must take revenge so that people don't learn from the enemy to fight against the Talmud Chacham. It's something like that. I just don't remember exactly the line. But it's a Gemara Tainus right in the beginning. She'enu Nokim Venoter Knachash is the wording over here. I need Elohim Ekra. So I call out to Hashem, Hashem Yisheni, and Hashem saves me. Notice, by the way, I call out to Elohim, Midas Adin, the Hashem Yosheni. I turn it into Midas Arachamim through my mitzvos. It will do that. Oh, I forgot, by the way, in the last one also, Yerusha Shol Chaim, they go down the grave alive, is the reference that he has no chelik in Olam Haba. That's what Zachi Topol does it. Every evening and morning and afternoon, I dive into our Kaddish Baruch Hu, and I cry to Hashem, Yishma Kolim, and listen to my voice. Now, obviously, three times daily, we do learn from over here that just like the Avos Daven, Davenal Daven, and in fact, this Pasuk is mentioned in Brachos when we say how many times a day do we daven. We learn it from Davenal. It's a very, very weird line because we already learned from the Avos themselves, but the Gemara in Brachos does mention this Pasuk when to daven. Meaning, if you would learn just from the Avos, we know you're supposed to do Avon Yisak Yaakov. Who says you have to do it in the evening, morning, afternoon? That we learn from the reference to Korban. And the the Evarim that were brought all night long. But we darshan that from this pasuk, Erev Avokev Tzorayim. Others say that he's really referring to I davened when there's darkness and I'm being afflicted. I davened at a time of deliverance. I davened even after the deliverance has already happened in the afternoon. That's the idea as well. That's the concept behind it. This is an interesting line. Antoninus said to Rebbe, can I daven every single day, every hour of the day? So Rebbe said, no. You're not allowed to daven that many times a day. So Antoninus said, why not? So Rebbe said, because it's going to be disrespectful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Antoninus didn't believe him. So he said, I want to do it myself. So Rebbe Yudanasi the next morning came to greet him at 6 o'clock in the morning. He said, Hail, O King. Then an hour later, he came in and he said, Hail, O King. Then an hour later, he came in and said, Hail, O King. So Antoninus looked at him and he's like, I'm going to kill you. You're annoying the living garbage out of me. You got to stop it. And Rabbi Yudanasi said, that's what it's like for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The only reason why he wants us to daven three times a day, right, three times a day, is because the Avos did it, and Dovid HaMelech instituted it, and therefore we have the three times a day that are there. Otherwise, it is considered disrespectful to keep going up to the king and greeting him as if you have the right to go greet him. That's what Rebbe told Antoninus. Interesting, right? I wouldn't have thought of that.
The Muslims.
What do they have? They have five times,
right?
Five times a day. No, let them keep happening that way. Let's see what happens then. The Ehemeh, by the way, the Ehemeh is the gematria altogether of 57. 57 is 19 times 3. The three tefillos of Shemona Esrei plus Olam Al Shinim, three times a day. And that's the remez. Ehemeh is I daven Shemona Esrei, 57 brachos a day, and that's the idea behind it. Okay, so he brings that down. He couldn't have. No, but naturally that Olam Al Shinim is added on. This is also an interesting little line, right? But there's no way he would adopt Shemona Esrei. Maybe it's something that was equivalent thereof. We learned Shemona Esrei from Mizmor LeDavid, Havel Hashem and Eilim, Havel Hashem Kavodos, Chavtes. By the way, regardless, that's that. We also learned davening from Daniel. If you remember, Daniel used to go up three times a day in order to daven, right, when Nebuchadnezzar offered it. We'll get to that. Part of the Shalom Nashim Mikrov Li, God has redeemed my soul from the battle that is within me. There's so many people that struggle with me. Obviously, it's a reference to the inside, the Yitzhar, or the going, whatever it is. But Devin Malchus is saying, you know what? I also daven against the people battling against me. I don't want them to go to Gehenna. I don't really want them to go. I hope they do tshuva and everything comes out well. Yishmael v'anim, may God listen and answer them. Yoshev Kedem Sela, even though he is, you know, enthroned of old, meaning he should listen and humble them, even he who is humbled, enthroned of old forever and ever. Asher Eicha Lipo, right? They have no changes. They don't fear God. These people, they don't want to change. They don't want to do tshuva, no matter what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does to them. And they don't fear God. Send your hand against those that you were at peace with. Chilo briso, those who have profaned the bris of Hashem. Chokmach mos pish, because their mouths are smoother than butter. Ukrov libo, yet their hearts were always at war. Rakdvar mishemen, their words are softer than oil. Behemoth chisois and the psichais, they have keen-edged swords. They are ready to fight, ready to fight, ready to talk. Hashalach Hashem yahabach v'chalk lecha. So what do you do? Throw your package upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and He will support you. Letim lo olam tzadik, He will not allow the tzadik to falter. This is an interesting Gemara. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah says that the Chachamim did not know what the word Yahavcha meant. They didn't know what it meant. Then they heard an Arab merchant, or possibly the Amasid of a Rebbe, that made servant of Rebbe, two different Gemaras, right, in which they were saying, Hashlich, they heard an Arab merchant saying to his guy, throw that package upon me and I'll take it to the market. And he used the word Yahav, right? So he realized, oh, Yahav means a package.
That's what it means.
Yes, have. Right. Means to give. And the name Yahav, right, as in Yigal Yahav, Daniel Yahav, etc., does mean, it means literally to give. But that was where Chazal looked at it. They looked at it and they say, Hashlech Hashem Yahavcha. And they said, what does that mean? You're what? What are you throwing on a Kodesh Baruch Hu? So what does that mean? That's what they learned. So Chazal say that it's not that the Chum didn't know what the word Yahav meant. They knew. They knew that this referenced the package. And that's what it meant over here. They didn't know what exactly God was going to provide for them. And the Arab merchant throwing it on his back said, everything. You could throw anything upon my back and take it, whatever it is. And that was the point of what the Arab merchant or the maidservant of Rebbe was trying to tell them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of everything. You can throw everything on Hashem's back, so to speak. That's all going to redeem. You, God, should bring them down to the nethermost pit. These people of bloodshed and these people of trickery, they will never live out half their days. And through this, all this time, I will have that be talking to you and trust you. And everything's going to be. So again, these guys are not going to live out their days. As we learned before, actually, they're not going to live out their days. Doeg lives to the age of 33 or 34. Achitophel lives to 33 or 34. Absalom lived to an older age. He lived to 40. Right? 40. He died when he was 40 years old, but nonetheless, he didn't live to the amount that he was supposed to. Right? So they died at a very young age, and that's the sad part behind it. All right, we'll stop with this.